back to the AFC, the All Football Cast. We're back at it again. It's me, Lita.
I'm the Fox.
I'm Mac Daddy.
And we have a treat for you today. We have Chris with us, and he is a huge Giants fan. A giant of a Giants fan, if you will.
Well, a smaller version of a Giants fan. Let's put it that way. I was once a big Giant. I was once about like 5'10", 260 something, but I mean, we've shrunk a little through the years. So.
But the love for the Giants is still there, though, right?
It'll always be there.
Alrighty then.
Yeah, sure. So, Chris, I wanted to get your take on Daniel Jones. I mean, this guy's been with the team for a few years now. He hasn't put up great results yet. That said, the team around him isn't great. What are your thoughts on him? Do you think he's the guy they should be sticking with for the future here for the Giants?
Let's be honest about this and call this for what it is. Is he an awful quarterback? We really don't know. That's the biggest problem in this. We really don't. You don't really know what you have in Daniel Jones. The one main concern that you do have is the most obvious in the world, and that's his unfortunate, uncanny ability of making mistakes at the worst possible times. I mean, look, you know, he trips himself, he fumbles a lot. Does he fumble at the level of Eli Manning? Yes, worse. Does he throw back-breaking interceptions like Eli did at times in his career? Sure. But the bottom line kind of is this. He is an unknown quantity. I mean, and there was a few games, you know, in his first 2 years where you sat there and went, okay, we've got something here. Obviously, the one that everyone talks about is the, you know, from his rookie season, the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where he went absolutely nuts. Everybody talks about. That's the sort of benchmark game. I've even joked that it was his high watermark in his career, which doesn't say much. But when you have an offensive line that is as bad as the Giants had the first two seasons, last year more because they just didn't seem to have a clue of what they were doing, you are going to inevitably have problems. There are certain bottom of the barrel teams that he's going to match up against really well this year. And that's going to cause almost by default, guys, an improvement over the last two seasons where he's a little bit more consistent. I know they've worked on it. I know they've worked on his ball gripping skills in camp over and over and over again. And you have at some point that is going to pay some dividends. And he may not take so many risks this year running the ball. That was an issue too. He would have the tendency to put his right arm out, and unfortunately the ball would come with it. And that was a good source as far as a number of his fumbles last year. So right now we don't know the type of player Daniel Jones is going to be. We know he has some awful tendencies, but we also know that he has some good ones as well.
Fair enough with that. So on the note of the offense, I do just want to switch things over to the return of Saquon Barkley. Now, before we started this conversation, we started recording, you did mention that you're not necessarily the biggest fan of Jason Garrett. However, do you think that his style is going to help Saquon as he recovers from injury, since it is very heavy with running the football?
It may not be a bad thing. I mean, look, the Giants have brought some insurance at running back, and you're going to need that especially the first month. Again, I joke about blowing out knees, and the irony is I actually popped my knee out a couple times in the last 2 weeks. So I can somewhat relate to this. You know, the thing is this, people forget that the first year of Saquon Barkley's career, he was actually, folks, he was healthy.
Yeah, that he was.
It just seems like it's become such an afterthought, and you don't want to say like a footnote to everything, but I think because of COVID and the way things have gone, and then you combine with the fact that he only played parts of two games last year, it feels like it's a three-year injury when really it's not. That is throwing people off. So yes, he is going to be eased along. I know that he was taken off the pup list, and I always call it pup. I will never call it the physically unable to play list. It's just because it sounds cute. It's one of the few things that gets sentimental on me.
I respect that. Respect.
But here's the thing. If he feels like he is good to go in week one, he is going to get not necessarily the lion's share of the carries and touches, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see like a few plays that are more towards, oh, hey, we throw a 2 yard swing pass out to you, run 6-10 yards and get out of bounds. You're going to see a few more of those like you did in his first season, ironically, for the Giants. And that tended to play a lot of dividends, especially people just don't realize that the guy had 91 receptions in year one. I mean,
He was definitely on an upward trend before the ACL tear, for sure.
People don't realize, year two, he only averaged 4 receptions, and he did have his target percentage was nice too. And people take that for granted. He had a 70% target percentage even in year two. It dipped a little bit from the 75. Yeah, I mean, look, he wasn't getting that high. That year one was just ridiculously off the charts in the sense of percentages. But at the same time, he was able to produce in 13 games almost what he did in 16 game based on average. And that's fine. Now, look, you knew last year offensive line just didn't have a clue. They didn't have it. You didn't want to say an injury was almost inevitable, but you almost felt like it was going to happen because he was trying to do too much. And maybe this big of an injury now pays dividends in his career because he realizes he doesn't have to do everything with the offense that is hopefully going to stay in place this year. I mean, last year, again, for folks listening, it seemed like every other day in training camp, there was an injury. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, the New York Mets called and said, hey, hold our beer.
That's rough. Really rough.
Because that's when you know that when you start seeing an injury list and it goes page 2, 1 of 2, that's when you really have to worry. So he's going to be eased then. And I do think even though Jason Garrett does tend more towards the run and the numbers, back it up, there should be just enough insurance for the Giants in depth that they are able to at least ease Barkley. And if he gets more than 25 touches in week one, I will be surprised.
Now, switching gears to the overall team, last year, the NFC least was the worst division in football. The Giants finished at 6-10 along with the Cowboys, just one win basically behind the Washington football team. What are your expectations for their season heading in? Do you think that the division will be a stronger division this year, or do you think it'll be just as bad, if not worse?
The good news for people in the NFC East, is that it can't be any worse. I mean, I saw it a few seasons ago where 8-7-1 won the division, and I do remember an Eagles Cowboys game at the end of the season that was so bad I wanted to throw up. Two defensively inept teams faced each other, and you were just waiting. It's rare that you want to say that an offensive showdown was bad, but in this case it was because of all the defensive miscues along the way. It's different if you have two good offenses. These were two average to below average offenses that were scoring nearly 80 points. It wasn't just that the Giants weren't in it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was just that you were watching really ugly football. I mean, guy breaks 5 tackles, he's 30-40 pounds like less than the guy he breaks the tackle off of, and the guy just falls off of him like a paper mache. I mean, things like that. So it is going to be a lot better. Dallas, don't worry if Dak Prescott pulls a hamstring in camp. It's almost inevitable. He either pulls a hamstring or a groin every year in camp without fail. So don't panic. I think the bigger concern for Dallas, their defense has improved. They got to find a way to get Ezekiel Elliott to hold on to the ball. He's another player that suddenly developed fumbleitis.
Yeah, Butterfingers is spreading throughout the NFL.
I don't know if it was because of COVID last year or what, but it seems like every televised game I watched, and it wasn't just because it was the Cowboys, it seemed like he at least had one fumble in every one of those games. And it wasn't like, somebody clocked them and put helmet on the ball or body part on the ball and it was a textbook hit. There's a lot of times where he just flat out lost handle on the football.
He tended to drop it a lot.
There were a lot of instances where he dropped passes. I mean, it was just one. Look, last year was just one of those seasons and it played into everything. Look, the Giants started 1-7 and I gave up for dead. I was just like, okay, you know what? Fine, whatever. And then by the end of the year, by all rights, they would have won the division if they had won any one of those earlier games in the season where they just sleptwalked through the entire way. So it's odd. You really don't know what you have. And now you have the extra game onto the schedule this year, which does, for lack of a better term, it's a big wrinkle in the equation. I mean, the Giants could do really well and they could get off to almost as bad of a start as they did last year. We really don't know.
So, Chris, take me back to Super Bowl 42 and that amazing catch by David Tyree. What was going through
Eric?
Okay.
What was going through your head when you witnessed it, and where do you think it ranks as a play in NFL history?
For me, it's one of the top 10 plays in history, and it's not so much for the play, but it's everything that happened afterwards as far as a context of history. So for those that don't know, I was at the game. And I know people say this all the time, but no.
That is really amazing.
Didn't. I won tickets. I lived out in California for about 4 years. The local supermarket out there, Slater Brothers, had a raffle contest, raffling off two tickets and quote unquote deluxe accommodations for the, how can I put this in a nice way, middle class lands of where I lived near Joshua Tree National Park. So I never thought anything of it. I put it in. I was like, I'm not going to win. Nah. I get a phone call 4 days before the Super Bowl. So, and the person, I knew the person for a good while. Like, so Chris, how would you like to go to the Super Bowl? I hung up on him. I thought it was a joke. I really did. I was like, no.
Okay, I can't say I blame you on that one.
Yeah, I was like, it's gotta be a joke. There's no way.
Yeah,
call back. And he's like, Chris, do you think I would be calling you back if I was joking? And I'm like, oh damn, I am going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, that's amazing.
Well, I call my wife at the time and I'm like, so road trip this weekend. She's like, what do you mean road trip? I was like, we're going to Arizona for a little field trip on Sunday with lots and lots of screaming football people. She's like, there is no way you got tickets to that goddamn Super Bowl. I said, there was, even when you did it, there was, I was like, well, there's a way. And sure enough, you know, we went, the good thing was you're only a 4.5 hour drive from where I live. So I didn't even have to like use like the flying part at all. So it was kind of nice. You know, we're there and everything. And of course I didn't care that beers were like 15, 16 bucks a pop. And that was then. So I'm watching this play unfold and I'm about 12 beers deep and they're not the 12 ounce ones. They're like the yard size ones. So
you're having a good time.
Oh, I'm feeling it.
Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Definitely feeling it.
Yeah.
I look at this and I'm watching. It's like, hey, he's not sacked. And you're thinking of this as a totally drunk person, mind you. It's like the ball's going up, you know, and you're thinking in slow motion while it's happening. It's like the ball's going up in the air. Did he just staple gun the ball to his head? Is this possible? Is this really happening? And
nope.
Where I was sitting, you could not see whether he held on to the ball.
Ah!
So that was the grueling part of this. What people don't realize is, unfortunately, I was sitting in actually good enough seats to where I did not see it the end of the play. Only saw David Tyree go up and put the ball to his head.
So like, is your stomach kind of dropping right now?
The review was brutal because we're all just sitting there like, he caught that, right? And I had people like, you couldn't hear anything in that stadium. It was silent. And you could hear a few people kind of muttering a little bit like, did he catch that? Did he not catch that? Finally, the replay comes up like 90 seconds later. And that was the weird part too. You would expect the replay to come up right away. It didn't. There's a lot of little things that went wrong because they went right to commercial break. People often forget that. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at this, like I'm looking at my wife and a couple of our friends are there. And I'm like, caught the damn ball. That's a catch. He made a football move and everything. I mean, granted, it wasn't a great one, but he did catch it. And sure enough, you know, ref comes back after a couple minutes, rules it a good catch. And we were just in dis. As soon as that happened, we're like, this game's over. The Giants are winning. That's it. It's over. It was just inevitable. And obviously, you know, past the Plaxico in the back left corner of the end zone, no shooting of legs involved. From there, it was just like, I mean, I went through a Glendale Walmart so obscenely drunk that I'm surprised I was not arrested.
All right. Well, that's super exciting. I personally can't wait for the preseason to start. My Ravens are taking on the Saints. Eric, who do you guys face off against?
Yeah, my Patriots face off Thursday night against the Washington football team. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, and Mac with his Bills, they're facing off against the Lions on the 13th. So we each got teams. All of our teams are now doing things, which is super exciting. And we are so thankful to have you on with us, Chris. Thank you so much for spreading the information about the Giants and keeping us up to date on what's going on over there.
Oh, it's never a problem at all. Thank you.
That is it for us here at the All Football Cast. You can catch us back whenever we have the next episode. Until next time, it is Lita.
I'm the Fox.
I'm Mac Daddy.
And we'll see you next time. Good luck to your teams, and may the odds be ever in your favor.